Actually means if we examine, we don't like to have that awareness that are you this particular heap of flesh, bone, blood and so forth. Are you that? You don't like to believe that. Oh, I am. You shudder actually by this idea that this is just a heap of bones, blood and somehow it is activated. I am that? No. But our awareness being that, we are that. Whatever we associate or identify ourselves, for that time we are that. Like in the dream, we identify ourselves with a dream body. And then, whatever that is happening to the dream body, I feel that it's happening to me. So, God is free from all these misconceptions. And therefore, although is appearing through a body, is aware that is not really limited to the body. The two things are very different, friends. And being or expressing through a body is one thing. Like one may be expressing oneself through a photograph. It is like a body after all, an appearance. It is a photograph. Are you the photograph? Well, no. If the photograph is torn, do you get torn? You don't. So, you are expressing yourself through the photograph, but you are not that photograph. Similarly, we are expressing ourselves through the body, but are not the body. And this is the awareness of God, the divine awareness. And Arjuna believes that, understands that, but for generating the conviction, he requests that, can you show this to me? Can you bring that at the visual level, a perceptible level for me, so that I will be able to feel that strong conviction? Because our actions, they follow our convictions, not exactly our beliefs. There are millions and millions, or say even billion believers. And what do we see in their action? Anything of that belief? Nothing. Why so? Because our actions really do not always follow as to what we profess to believe. But when that belief gets converted into conviction, then the actions change, life changes, and thus we reap the benefits of spiritual life through that. So, therefore, a serious seeker like Arjuna asks this or requests this, please grant me that if possible. And Lord said, well, fine. And he starts describing, showing that, okay, look at this. It is just question of looking. Look at this. That it is all really one being with all millions of heads. It is. All this is really one being. Look at this. Pashyame partharupani shatashotha sahasrashah nana vidhani divyani nana varnakritinicha Pashyadityan vasun ridran ashvinamritastatha bahunyadrishta purvani pashyashcharyani bharata ihaikastham jagat krishnam pashyadyasacharacharam mama dehe gudakesha yachanyadrashtumichyati. So these three verses, 5th, 6th, 7th, they translate like this. See the Adityas, the Vasus, the Ridras, the two Ashwinis and the Marutas. See many wonderful forms never seen before. The fifth verse before that. See my various divine forms, O Partha, of diverse views and shapes, by the hundreds and thousands. See the Adityas, the Vasus, the Rudras, the two Ashwins, and the Marutas. See many wonderful forms never seen before, O descendant of Bharata. See this day the entire universe with movable and immovable objects united here in me, this body. O Gudakesh Arjuna, and anything else that you like to see, all you can see in this one body, like all waves uniting in the body of ocean. It is just question of names that creates the distinction and therefore the number. By waves, the same thing is infinitely many. By the name ocean, the same thing is one. It is question of perception. If you say, well, I see many, I don't see the one. Oh, well, that is one. Just change your perception. Your seeing needs to be changed. Don't you see that what you see as many different things, they keep on changing. They do not have any stable identity at all. They are not real. What is real? What lasts? What survives? The ocean, the one that survives. All the waves, they rise and fall, go up and down, and so forth, continuous changing flux. So, let us look at everything in the world in that fashion, and that is all contained in that one divine being. So, Lord says to Arjuna, just see, it is just change of perception, and then realizes that Arjuna is not able to see. Arjuna is not ready for that. He is not able to visualize or get that perception that really it is all one, a simple thing really. Do we not know, most of us now know, that all this universe is really, all these many things, where are they? In our brain, is it not? It is all in our brain, all that perception, where is it? It is in this 4-pound brain, in this little thing, all that is there, all the variety is contained there. Like you have, say, thousands and thousands of audio clips, songs and all that in a little iPad or iPod. What is it called? iPod. So that iPod has all that, one little thing, and that has everything. So have you got one or many? You have got how many iPods? One iPod, but it has so many things in it. So, this is one reality. That is all in the brain that you see, everything is there. Many of you might have seen that DVD, What the Bleep Do We Know? Very nice, interesting, that it is. That how our perceptions are all really part of our brain, nothing more than that. So, is it many or is it one? It is the question of how we see it. But most of us are not capable of seeing it in that true light, and therefore, although Lord is saying, telling Arjuna, Arjuna is not able to feel, see anything like that. And then God realizes that, oh, I am talking to Arjuna who is on the rather ordinary plane, believes, but then doesn't have that elevation of awareness. So he says, oh, by those eyes you cannot see this. Na tu mam shakyase drashtum anenaiva svachakshusha divyam dadamite chakshu pashyame yogamaishwaram. But you will not be able to see me just with those eyes of yours. I am giving unto you this celestial eye. Behold my divine miracle. The words are very beautiful, very poetic, and need to be understood a little more clearly. That what are these eyes that we seek with? They are just expressing our ignorance. We see what is not real. That is what these eyes are doing. What is not real, that is shown as real by these eyes. So we have to get a different eyes, a different pair of eyes by which we will be able to perceive this reality. This is a change of awareness. It requires a push by the teacher. The teacher gives a push, and then you start seeing things differently. You get a glimpse of what is it. It is, you read in the life of Swami Vivekananda, when he went to Sri Ramakrishna for quite a few days, he wouldn't believe that the truth of the God that pervades everything, that oneness of the existence, he was not able to believe. He used to argue against that. And so one day while his argument and ridicule, he used to ridicule the sages. Probably they had a few screws loose, those sages who said that Atman alone abides, or everything is that Brahman. Most of them, they must have had their screws loose. And then Sri Ramakrishna used to tell them that, why, what right do you have to say that they are insane? If you don't know, you are not, don't believe, but you don't have right to say that they are insane. And that day, as Narendra was having lot of fun and ridiculing the sages, Sri Ramakrishna comes there and touches Narendranath. And that push changed the perception. Changed the perception from that of just the waves to the ocean, on which then you start seeing all these waves rising and falling. And then he could see that one in everything. There is a beautiful description in his life about it. I don't want to go deeper into it. And there you see one such incident occurred before that. The first visit that Narendra had with Sri Ramakrishna, after that a couple of visits followed. Sri Ramakrishna was behaving kind of strange with him, because he knew the tremendous potential of this young boy. So after 2-3 visits or so, he suddenly touched Narendra, and then Narendra screamed, what are you doing this to me? I have my parents. Because everything started becoming kind of all falling aside. All this world built on ignorance starts falling apart, and one shudders, one gets scared to face this reality. And we are such in that state that we are scared of the truth. We don't have really the courage to face the reality. That it is this world of names and forms, it is just coming and going. Behind that, underneath, is this truth that never goes, that never has come. It is eternal reality. So that perception, here we see Krishna gives to Arjuna, Divyam Dadami Te Chakshu, very beautiful phrase. Let me give you special eyes, the divine eyes, the eyes of knowledge that will make you see the truth. It is like giving say a microscope. You may say, well, I don't see any worms in yogurt. Okay, let me give you a microscope. And then you can see all the tiny worms in the yogurt. So, it is see what this world is in reality, in truth. Look at that. And Arjuna then, with those divine eyes, now starts seeing. In between there is a verse by the narrator. As you know, this Bhagavad Gita is coming to us as a narration by Sanjaya to Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra, just a little diversion to let us get this, how this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna is coming to us, that in the beginning of the war, that Dhritarashtra, the king, the father of the Kauravas, the cousins of the virtuous Pandavas, the evil cousins of the virtuous Pandavas, that Dhritarashtra wanted to know how the things are happening in the war. Who is winning, who is losing. The stories of war are quite interesting, you know. So people want to know that how the war is going on and who is winning and so forth. So he asked Vyasa. Vyasa said, okay, I can give you the power of that clear vision. You can look for see it from the distance. He said, no, no, for now I am an old man. For last all my life I was blind. So I will not be able to enjoy that seeing at all. But give it to this Sanjaya. He will then be able to see and narrate it to me. So Sanjaya was a faithful narrator. And Sanjaya is describing everything that is happening in the war. And in the beginning of the war, therefore, what happens, that story that Arjuna, instead of starting to fight, became just despondent, puts down his bow and arrow, and declares that, well, he is not up to taking up the fight. So, then the Bhagavad Gita starts to address the confused Arjuna, knowledge is given to Arjuna as to what's the purpose of life, how the conflicts in life are to be resolved, keeping before us the ideals, and then take the direction that carries us or takes us towards the ideal. So this conversation is going on. So Sanjaya now sees that yes, Arjuna is being granted the divine vision. So you see this Arjuna getting those special specs to see the truth. So it is said here that eva muktva tato rajan mahayogeshwaro hari darshaya master parthaya paramam rupamaishwaram. But you will not be able to see me just with these eyes of yours. I am giving unto you the celestial eye. Behold my divine miracle. Sanjay said, O king, having spoken this, Hari, the great lord of yoga, next showed Partha the supreme divine form. And now, what Arjuna is seeing, Sanjaya is also able to see. Apparently, although it is not mentioned here, not only Arjuna got these special eyes, even Sanjaya seems to have gotten these special eyes, because all these are now words of Sanjaya as to what is what Arjuna is seeing. So the description comes in his words. Aneka vaktra nayanam, aneka adbhuta darshanam, aneka divya bharanam, divya nekodhyata yudham, divya malyambaradharam, divya gandhanulepanam, sarvashwaryamayam devam, anantam vishvatumukham. Having many mouths and eyes and containing many a wonderful sight, with many heavenly ornaments and wielding many heavenly uplifted weapons, wearing celestial garlands and apparel, anointed with heavenly perfumes, full of wonders, resplendent, infinite, and having faces on every side. It is a tremendous description, friends. Even at the level of description, its poetic charm is just immense. One important word that you will notice here is that it is not something that is seen by us in everyday life. It has similarity, but because of similarity we can find some words to describe it. But like ayudha, the weapons, we see weapons here, but those are not exactly same weapons. So therefore the word used is heavenly or celestial, something that you don't normally will be able to see beyond what we see. There is similarity, but they are not same. So he is describing like this, and then he is seeing that the Lord with faces and hands and eyes everywhere. Those of you who know will remember the great Vedic chant titled Purusha Suktam. Sahasra Shirsha Purushah, Sahasraksha Sahasrapat, Sabhumim Vishvatur Hitva, Atyatishthad Dashangulam, Purusha Evedagam Sarvam, Yad Bhutan Yach Bhavyam. It is that all the heads, the being that is described, all heads are his or her, whatever. It is, there is no gender there. It is all heads belong to that. And do you ever have a question, this I belongs to me, whom does this I belong? Well, it is my two eyes. Now imagine the being who has really all these eyes are that being's eyes. It is that being is seeing through all the eyes. And this is a great, great concept in Vedanta, a tremendously important concept, that of oneness, that there is just one being appearing in many different bodies, many different forms. The being inside is not really different. And that what distinguishes, between Arvinda here and his dad sitting by his side? Are you one being? He said, no, we are connected, we are related. He is my dad, but we are not one, you see. We are not one. Well, where do you differ? Where do you differ? Yes, in the body we differ. We have separate bodies. And then when we identify with the bodies, we are different. But you are not the body really. Okay, then where do you differ then? You may say that we differ in our thoughts. Are you the thoughts? You are not the thoughts either. Whatever creates difference, you are not that. Whatever distinguishes, you are not that. Then, where is the difference? And so, now this is of course a logical explanation, but actually this is the experience of the sages, that it is one being. Just as you don't think that there are different beings, one in the ear, another in the eyes, another in the stomach, another in the legs. You know it is one being. Just extend this. It is one being that is seeing through all eyes, eating through all mouths, breathing through all lungs. Appears difficult to accept only because of ignorance, only because of sticking to this identification with body. The moment we just, even in imagination, disidentify with the body. Therefore, I had suggested a meditation that just as you serve, especially it happens in winter, when you are outside, you put on lot of big overcoats and sweaters and all that. And then when you come in, the first thing you want to do is take out your that big overcoat. Now just similarly think that you are taking off the body as well. Like a coat you take out, so take out the body. Just in imagination. And don't think you die because of that. No. It is. I just think that you are also taking your body off. And see that how much infiniteness you will feel in your awareness. You will not be then limited by the gender. You will not be limited by age. You will not be limited by, say, man or animal or whatever. All those limitations will go away. You will, your worries, I don't have enough money, I wanted really so much, but I got only so much. Your worries about health, all those worries will just go away. Because just as your worries associated with your coat, all your thinking associated with the coat is kept aside when you hang the coat. Because of the coat, say you were looking red or green or blue. Now you take off the coat, then are you green or red or blue? You are not. So similarly, when you learn, this is of course a matter of learning. A matter of learning meditation. As one learns the meditative techniques, you learn also keep the body aside. And then you can put on whenever you need, you know. It is question of just identification. It is just as you don't identify with the coat that you put, you use it. Similarly, you use the body. Whenever needed, you don't have to identify with the body, I am this body. That is silliness. It is just dumbness. As Ranganath Anandji therefore used to say, that in Vedanta we tell to renounce. But what do we tell to renounce? Dumbness. Nothing more than that. Dumbness is only thing that we want to renounce. Do you want to stick to dumbness, Naomi? No. Nobody likes to stick to dumbness. So just give that dumbness, that I am this body. It is dumb. Are you the body? No. Then why you identify? This is very important, friends. It sounds simple. Nothing very difficult about it to understand. But one has to cultivate this conviction through the proper practices. And you can see the results. If you are constricted in that coat, it will be horrible. You know, if you are constantly, you have to be in that coat, big heavy coat. Can you sleep properly? No. Can you take shower? No. It will be a horrible thing, really. And we will be suffering. That is why we are suffering, identifying with the body. It is something that is sticking to us. We are not able to take it off. So, when we learn to take it off, we see that infinite, all are really the one being that is eating by all mouths. There is that great experience of Sri Ramakrishna that one being eats through all mouths. There is that great story in Chandogya Upanishad that the man was questioning or seeking, have you seen that person who can eat with all mouths? That must be the real great person. When you find such a person, you have found the truth or the God, the one who can eat through all mouths. It is this idea, friends, that when the vision gets changed, now Arjuna is seeing all this divine. All these verses, friends, are very, in that light you will be able to easily feel the meaning. They are not as such difficult to understand. They are in fact very poetic, easy to understand, nothing much to explain. Now an analogy is given. Devi Surya Sahasrasya Bhave Yugapadutthita Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasyad Bhasas Tasya Mahatmanaha. If the effulgence of 1,000 suns were to appear in the skies simultaneously, it might compare somewhat with the splendor of that great form. Just think, you know, what even one sun, when it is really bright, you can't look at that. And imagine 1,000 suns simultaneously illuminating the sky. How can you think of it? And Arjuna is there perceiving, and Sanjaya is describing that maybe that also is not the really the that luminosity. It is much more than that. Maybe that could be an analogy to this luminosity. Actually, Oppenheimer used this verse when he was seeing that horrible that atomic explosion when the bomb was thrown on Japan, and then that was the light, the illumination, all that was, he immediately uttered this verse it is something like that. Of course, that is not the purpose of this verse. It was meant for something different. It was not meant for Oppenheimer to give a quote for this. But it is tremendous illumination. All light is really from that one source, that one being. Whatever is luminous, whatever is lighting, think that it is. That light is coming from that. So, sees that and everything is contained in that. Tatraikastam jagat krishnam pravibhaktam anekadha apashyad deva devasya sharire pandavastada ततः स विस्मयाविष्टो हृष्टरो माधनञ्जयः प्रणम्य शिरसा देवं कृताञ्जलिरभाषत. Then the son of Pandu saw the entire universe with its manifold divisions united there in the body of the God of all gods. Everything was contained in that. And just as the example I had given, you may think of all those songs, thousands of them, together in your iPod, in one. I have in my pocket all that, those songs, all those lectures and everything that I want to listen to, all are in my pocket. So this whole universe is seen by Arjuna in that one body of Lord. And then naturally it was such a wonderful thing, never before seen. Then Dhananjaya, filled with wonder and his hair standing on end, bowing his head before the Lord, said with joined palms. You can imagine, you know, what a tremendous experience this must be. In fact, it is beyond imagination also, that the whole universe in one body. It is said it here that for the lack of better words, that's all, that filled with wonder. In American English, everything is wonderful, you know. So when you call this also wonderful, it makes everything kind of flat, you see. It is, this is Arjuna's experience, that also was wonderful. And the cake yesterday, that also was wonderful. Now, where is the distinction, you see? So, it is... This is not of that category, friends. It is wonder of wonders. It is, you have to multiply that wonderful maybe a million times, then there would be some glimpse of that. It is something that you have never seen before. It is wonder of that category. So, and then Arjuna, and now he is Kritanjali. He salutes just naturally, automatically, spontaneously, and starts describing that. Now, Arjuna's words, of course, presented to us again by Sanjaya and again by Vyasa and so forth, but these words are again, as you see, you can see, Arjuna is trying to describe that vision. He is not finding appropriate words. It is impossible to find appropriate words to have any idea of this. But he is trying, and you can see, therefore, the words are used with much more meaning packed than normally would be. Pashyami devan sarva deva dehe sarvastatha bhuta vishesha sanghan brahmanamesham kamalasanastham rishinscha sarvan uragascha divyan अनेक बाहु दर्वत्र नेत्रं पश्यामि त्वां सर्वतो नन्तरूपं नान्तं न मध्यं न पुनस्तवादिं पश्यामि विश्वेश्वर विश्वरूप किरीटिनं गदिनं चक्रिणं च तेजो राशिं सर्वतो दीप्तिमन्तं pashyami tvam durniriksham samantat deepta nalarka dyutima prameyam. He describes this. In your body, O Lord, I see the God that is also all the hosts of various beings, Brahmas, the rulers, seated on this lotus seat, all the heavenly sages and serpents. I see you with many hands, bellies, mouths and eyes, possessing infinite forms on every side, O Lord of the universe. O you of universal form, I see, however, neither your end, nor middle, nor your beginning. Think of it, you know, when you see all the galaxies and all the different, astronomers have so many different names. The black holes or white holes or that pulsars and different types of all those stars, all those are seen with all different types of beings living there. All of them are seen. Imagine that, how that perception could be. What a wonder. It is even when that somebody who first went into the orbit beyond Earth, this thing, then the perception feeling was so different. Imagine now what will be when you see all the universe, no end to it, no beginning, no end, and no middle, nothing is measurable there. And that I see you around with the diadem, mace and disc. It is again changing into that form of, when this is all combined, that form of Vishnu that appears there, that with big crown or a diadem, mace and disc, a mass of light resplendent on all sides, blinding with the effulgence of the blazing fire and sun, and immeasurable. This is all Arjuna's description. Just let us try to feel the immenseness of it. He says further that tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam tvamavyayah shashvat dharma gopta sanatanastvam purusho mato me. You are the imperishable, the supreme, the thing to be known. You are the supreme resting place of this universe. You are undecaying and the preserver of the eternal religion. I regard you as the primeval being. It is again Arjuna's that overwhelming experience. Somehow he is trying to put words to it. It is not that the words are appropriate. You can see that there is no sequence or anything there in the description. It is all just haphazard. Why so? Because that perception is so overwhelming. You cannot really properly describe it in words. Even the ordinary, some of the ordinary descriptions. I was listening to one gentleman who saw that terrible, not tsunami, but similar, some terrible flooding, and was describing it, was not able to describe. Even that was such an overwhelming thing. And so there was no logical connections always, no proper sequence. because it is that experience, the whole picture is not easy to separately put into a linear expression of words. It is too much. So Arjuna is, you can see through his words that what must be the feelings there. And let us try to feel that. We shall continue this discussion by the grace of Lord next Friday. Try to feel that infinite oneness. The description will continue for a few more verses, and we will see how that we can visualize. This imagination is for helping us to visualize that immensity of this experience of oneness, and why we don't have it. That also will be seen, you know, that why we don't have it. It is, we don't have those divya, that chakshu, the divine eyes, the proper eyes to see this. Any questions? Yes, Charles?
Now, Arjuna, he seemed the total manifestation, but it's still Godless form, right? Or is it without form?
It is here, it is, the form is not really decipherable. The form is coming and dissolving and all that. It is still because of the limit. Whenever the particular limitation of perception approaches, Arjuna is seeing a corresponding form. And when that limitation gets loosened, that form also disappears. So it certainly is still not the perception of the formless, because that couldn't have been described.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's God really with form that acts in the world, but and the God without form is really the screen upon which the action happens?
It is not really two very different things. It is the perception, when there is that idea, I, the perceiver, you, the perceiver, there is form, there is limitation. And when that is gone, then only you can have that idea of completely nameless, formless, without any distinction, without any differentiation, that reality.
See, you know, the sages also see that. Similar thing, for example, Swami Vivekananda, that song of the Samadhi coming and going, is this similar?
Yes,
but
yes.
Not that graphic.
That is true.
But so they also see that similar.
Swami Vivekananda's that song, it describes this. But since Swami Vivekananda is going into that Samadhi experience, that description is more consistent. For Arjuna, it is an experience that is really very unsettling. Later on, he will say, "Oh, please, I cannot withstand this anymore. I am scared. Please restore my previous awareness." With Swami Vivekananda, that was not the case. When he was describing that song, but this part is correct, as you said, that the universe appears and disappears. It is coming up. He is seeing is that chaya soma, that it is appearing as shadow, not real, and then that also dissolves. And only a faint sense of I is left there. And then he says that little awareness of I, that also vanished. Shunya shunya milailo. That then there is the nothing remained, the nothingness dissolved into nothingness. And then he says, it is matter of experience. Bujhe. Plan bojhejar, that the one who experiences. So that is that. So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्रविस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्र गीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।